Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin, Daf Yod Beis, Chulin 12. Today's Daf Yomi comes along Rav Nachman in the name of Rav and teaches the following principle. Ra'a Echad Sheshachat, if a person saw that another person slaughtered an animal and then the person left, and then the person who saw the slaughter doesn't know if the slaughter was a valid slaughter, if he doesn't know if he knows how to slaughter or not. So can he eat from the Shlita? Can we assume that the animal is kosher and that it had a valid slaughter? So says Rav Nachman in the name of Rav, Imra'uhu mitchilo v'atzof, if he saw him slaughter from the beginning to the end, he saw the entire Shlita, then mutar lechol mishlita. So then we say we'll be permitted to eat from his slaughter. However, Imlav, if he did not see the shlita from beginning to end, then we say asur lechol mishlitaso. Then we would say it's prohibited to eat from his slaughter. So the Gemara says, well, what's the scenario where we say it's only kosher if you would see it from the beginning to end, but if you didn't see it from beginning to end, it's prohibited? Hechi dami, what is this scenario? Idi yada digamir, if we know that the slaughterer knew what he was doing, that he knew how to slaughter, then lama li ra, why does he need to see him from beginning to end? We know he's a valid slaughterer, why would we even need to see anything? Vidi yada delogamir, and if we know that he's not a valid slaughterer, then pshita, then it's obvious that if he saw him from beginning to end, it would be good because he saw him do the shlita properly. He saw him do the five essential elements of the shlita, and he saw it's not a problem. So it must be el delo yada igamir ilo gamir. So it must be that the person watching doesn't know if he's a valid slaughterer or not. He doesn't know. If that's the case, we should still allow it, because if you don't know if he's a valid slaughterer or not, we could say we have a principle that the majority of the people who engage in shlita, engage in slaughter, are experts. And we'll come back to this principle later on in our discussion. But since we have that idea that the majority of the people who engage in shlita are experts, then we could assume that he's learned. And so therefore, even if we didn't see him from beginning to end, we could rely upon this fact that he was an expert, and therefore the slaughter is valid. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn this very principle? Haresha matza tarnagola shluta bashuk. If you found a rooster in the, if you found a rooster slaughtered in the market, or if you tell your agent to go out and slaughter for me a rooster, and he goes out and he finds it slaughtered, then under those circumstances, we could say, it's we can assume that it was slaughtered properly, because we have this principle of rov mitzuyin etzel shlita mumchenhein. So we see from here that we establish this principle, and the majority of people who do a slaughter are kosher. So why do we have to say that if we don't know if he's learned or not, we have to have watched him from beginning to end? So that's what the Gemara is asking. Why don't we just establish this principle of lema rov mitzuyin etzel shlita mumchenhein? So the Gemara says, no, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a situation not where we don't know if he's learned it or not, because if we're not sure if he's learned, then indeed we could rely upon that principle of rov mitzuyin etzel shlita mumchenhein. Here what the situation is, diyada delogamer, he knows the person is not learned. Well, if he knows the person is not learned, we already said, shouldn't he have to watch him from beginning to end? No, because here what happened is, he goes into Shachat Kamon Chad Simon Shapir. He slaughtered one of the two necessary pipes in front of us properly. He cut either the trachea or the esophagus properly. So, and then the person who was watching the slaughterer left. So, mahu de tema, what can we say under those circumstances? Could we assume that since he slaughtered the first one properly, and even though he didn't see the second one, we could assume that he did it properly? Or do we say mahu de tema midahai shapi or hafnam shapi, from the fact that he did the first one properly, the second one's also properly? But with, says the Gemara, we don't say that. Kamash Malan, we see from here that that's not good enough, that he has to have slaughtered both of them properly. Because Hayis Rume Isramuwe, Idach Shema Shaha Shemadaras. It's possible that the first one just happened to be correct, whereas the other one, when it comes to the other pipe, maybe indeed he did not do them properly. And so therefore, even in a situation where he slaughtered one of the pipes properly, if you know that he's not learned, you still would need to have watched the second pipe in order for it to rely upon that slaughter and to eat from the food. So comes along the commentaries on the Talmud, and they want to understand, what is the reason why we have this principle of rov mitzuyin etzel shlita mumchenhein? Why do we establish such a concept? Why do we assume that the majority of the people who are going to be involved in a slaughter are experts? Like this default is that the people are experts. So the Rishonim break down that there are basically two different approaches amongst the commentaries the medieval commentaries to explain why the Talmud assumes that there's this concept of Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shlita Mumchanhin. The first approach, which is basically followed by the Rambam and the Ra'ah, they basically take the approach that that all of Israel has, there's an assumption that the Jewish people are in cheskas kashrus, that most of the Jewish people, we have an assumption that they're not going to do something wrong. And so therefore, since most people are not going to be suspected about the prohibition of nevela, of violating this law of kosher food, and we say that if he doesn't know all of Shlita, he's not going to start messing around with it, because that's the basic assumption. And so therefore, we say that if we find something that's slaughtered, and we see that there was a slaughter done and the person was Jewish, we can assume that this was done according to this principle, that the person, if he didn't know the laws, he wouldn't do it. Whereas the second approach follows a different way. And the second approach says, no, we know that the rabbis of the Talmud knew that this was the reality. Not that everybody has a cheskas kashrus, but they just knew that the mitzios, the actuality of people, is that if somebody doesn't know the laws of Shlita, he's not going to be able to shechta like the shochnim who know it. And so he would kill the animal in a different way. And so therefore, that's the basic assumption. So one nafkamina, one practical difference is where if a person doesn't have this cheskas kashrus, let's say he's a thief or something, then we can't assume that it's kosher. But if we follow the second approach, then it would be kosher. So that's the basic logic behind this principle. And the majority of people who engage in slaughter are kosher Shlita.